Rich and powerful players from around the globe have gathered this week in Davos, Switzerland, where the annual World Economic Forum is underway. It's a time to network, strategize, and think big. But some key world leaders are missing from this year's event because of troubles at home. President Trump canceled the U.S. delegation's trip amid the partial government shutdown. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo did address the conference by satellite today. He said he expects progress with nuclear negotiations with North Korea by the end of next month. Other major leaders who are no-shows in Davos, Britain's Prime Minister Theresa May, she's dealing with Brexit, and French President Emmanuel Macron, who's contending with the Yellow Vests protests. Tom Keane is in Davos. He is editor-at-large for Bloomberg TV and Radio. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. So how does the absence of these three heavyweights matter in what talked about and what gets done in Davos?
It's every year somebody shows up. This is my 15th year. I have the clearest memory of Sarkozy wandering in with an entourage of 100. Maybe it was 10 years ago, and on and on. And, of course, President Xi 2 years ago of China. And, of course, President Trump with an extraordinary moment last year. And as you say, Lisa, it's all evaporated.
But that sounds almost like nothing's getting done. But doesn't this give a chance for the non-English-speaking countries to come to the fore because they don't have to share the spotlight so much?
Absolutely. There's no question about that. And a theme will be found. But what's fascinating is really for the first time with the new populism worldwide, the politicians are off their game and the bankers off of a huge year last year and an okay year this year. The financiers, the investors, the bankers seem to have a little more spring in their step than the politicians and the government officials who are really beleaguered again by this global populism.
Okay, I want to find out more about the bankers and financiers and what they are doing there. But does the government shutdown, especially since, as you mentioned, Donald Trump came in last year with a keynote address saying the U.S. is open for business, and we should note that the U.S. government was closed at that point in a far shorter shutdown the same time last year. This year, the shutdown is 32 days. What is being said about that? How is that being reflected in Davos?
It's fascinating. There's a distraction of Brexit, but on the shutdown, there's almost a curiosity to it. There's less discussion of it than there is. There's more angst about it. I spoke in London a week ago with a Democrat operative, and he made very clear to me he's looking for a 6-month shutdown. No one here is looking for that.
The angst that you're talking about, is that because of the worldwide implication of the shutdown, or is that because it seems like the United States in some way doesn't have its act together?
Two things. It's definitely the follow-on to global GDP and the world order and all that. But I'll tell you, Arne Sorensen of Marriott was piercing about the effect of the shutdown. Obviously, he's talking in his book of the large Marriott hotel company, but he was piercing about the effect of the shutdown adjacent to his many immigrant employees.
What did he say?
He said there's real strain just now beginning to click in. I would suggest, Lisa, that's one paycheck out, two paychecks out. Can you imagine if the Marriott extended family, very largely immigrants and immigrant families, can you imagine if they get out to 3 or 4 paychecks?
So you said because some of these global leaders are not there, that the bankers and financiers are coming to the fore. What are they talking about?
Yes. Well, it's very interesting. They're coming to the fore, and they're being a little coy. Last year, they were riding high. There was almost a palpable giddiness. It's different this year. The giddiness is not there. They're talking about rationalizations. It's a banker aware of the December ugliness, the Q4 ugliness. They are more optimistic right now, but by no means are they stepping with a step that they had 12 months ago.
Tom, we know that things get done at Davos. I wonder to what extent things get done that are tangible and actionable versus people working on their slalom. Because as you well know, the rap about Davos is that most people are in kind of enjoying the ski slopes.
I really take issue with that. When I came here, there was a little bit of the heyday of the let's go snowboarding, skiing down the hill. Of course, nobody here would snowboard. That would be beneath them. But within that, Davos has become equivalent, Lisa, to a plumber's convention in Las Vegas. The executives are here to meet other executives is a rule of thumb over 4 days. Now, with that said, they're coming in and they're working, but I'm not sure how many are staying for a full 4 days.
And why is that?
They got to get back to their offices. They've got to get back in London to Brexit. They've got to get back in America to the shutdown. And we haven't talked about the other turmoil out there, including in France. France perkles up here much more than I expected.
This has to do with the yellow vest protests from public workers there. By the way, this is a Swiss ski town. There is a lot of snow, but I understand this year an unnatural amount of snow. How bad is it?
It's the worst it's ever been, going back to, I believe, 1961 or 1951, and it is snowy.
It is snowy. Tom Keene, editor-at-large for Bloomberg TV and radio, thank you.
Lisa, thank you so much.